ஆண்டவராக ஹரியநாம ஹரியநாம ஹரியநாமாய் கீவலம் கலோ நாஸ்தீவ 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 கத்தியர் அன்யதா ஹரியநாம ஹரியநாம ஹரியநாமாய் கீவலம் கலோ நாஸ்தீவ 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 கத்தியர் அன்யதா. I have been requested by tonight's sponsor, Subhadra and Rasikbhai Patel, to speak on a very vital topic in all of our lives. Since we are human beings, there are certain things that are inevitable. And things that are inevitable should be dealt with by means of intelligence. The topic is death. And we learn from the Bhagavad Gita that as sure as one is born, one is destined to die. And then Krishna says, and for one who has died, the next birth is certain. That is a core, fundamental principle of any Hindu religion. The idea that the soul is eternal, that the soul is different from the body, and death simply means change of body. In the Bhagavad Gita, one of the first things Krishna instructs to help us understand the concept of saṃsāra, the cycle of birth and death, Krishna points out, you're going through that already. You were a child, you were an adolescent, young adult, and now most of us are in the down cycle, winding up. What happened to your 5-year-old body? You're still the same person. It's not that you're a different person. You remember things that you did when you were 5, 15, 25, 55. You remember. Something has remained constant, but the body changed. Krishna says, therefore, just as you've already gone through different changes of body, you're going to get another one when this one is no longer usable. He gives another example, clothes. You're not wearing the same set of clothes that you wore 20 years ago. Either you got too fat, or it just got worn out. And you don't lament for a change of clothes. In fact, you look forward to a new set of clothes, especially women. They look forward to that. So in the same way, the body is just like a set of clothes. And when this set of clothes wears out, you get a new set of clothes. Later on, towards the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that this body is like a car. When you were first employed, because of your salary, you could only afford maybe a mid-level car. But then, as you became more affluent, you started off with a Corolla. Now you're driving Lexus. You have upgraded the car. Similarly, if someone is pious, they get an upgrade of the body, if they're pious. Not pious, downgrade. So the first lesson of transcendental knowledge as taught by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is to clearly understand the difference between the body and the soul, and whether it's tomorrow or 50 years from now, the day will come when you'll have to leave this body behind. So, there are some nice verses in Srimad Bhagavatam to help us deal with this inevitability. One more thing we learn from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, very important. Perhaps one of the most important things one should learn from the 700 shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. The point being, in two verses in chapter 8, Krishna says, whatever you're thinking of at the time of death determines the next body. Therefore, the moment of death is critical, crucial. You all know, because you were raised Hindu, the story of Bharat. Bharat was the son of God, son of Rishabhdev. Rishabhdev is an expansion of Vasudev, God. At the time of death, he was thinking of a deer. Therefore, he got the body of a deer. So the thoughts that are lingering in our minds at the time of death determines the next birth. And therefore, Krishna says, if you can think of me at the time of death, you come to me. Not that you become me, you come to me. You join me. You enter into my abode. What is Krishna's abode? No birth, no death, no old age and disease. These four things are the curses of a human body. Yes. You don't remember, but the Bhagavatam points out, being in the womb of the mother was not a vacation. The Srimad Bhagavatam clearly describes what the living entity is going through in the womb of the mother. And it is said that at the time of birth, the soul is praying like anything to Krishna, please help me. And Kapildev points out in Bhagavatam to his mother Devahuti, the soul, if it's a good soul, prays to God, if you get me out of here safely, I promise you, I'll worship you, I'll serve you. But Kapildev says, but what happens? As soon as you come out of the womb, Maya comes, covers you over, you forget your promise. But every good soul promises in the womb and prays to the Lord, if you get me out. So the position of the child in the womb, you have to read it in the Bhagavatam. So there are four curses, birth, death, so we're talking about death. Nobody wants to die. That's another question. Why nobody wants to die? The reason is because the soul by nature is eternal. The death experience is foreign. It's contrary. It's unnatural for the soul. Birth, death, old age. You like getting old? Nobody. Just ask all the Hollywood people. They're spending millions of dollars to try to stop the advent of old age, Botox, and so many things. The medical profession, especially the drug industry, multi-billion dollar industry, what's it about? Conquering old age, and the last one, disease. That's the curses of taking birth in the material world. Birth, death, old age, disease. Good luck. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manakshastan Indriyani. Material existence means simply struggle, not vacation. This is not paradise. This is the land, especially the planet Earth, is the world of struggle. Work hard, pay too much taxes, and then die. Whereas Krishna's abode, these things are absent. You live forever. Look at Krishna. Does he look happy to you on the altar standing next to Srimati Radharani? Yes. That is Krishna's nature. Sat Chit Ananda. So when Krishna says, if you think of me at the time of death, you will attain my nature, that's what you attain. If you can think of Krishna at the time of death, you regain your eternality, means you don't have to take birth and death again. You become fully cognizant of who you are, and you become blissful. What is bliss? Bliss is not something you can get here in the material world. Why? Bhagavad Gita points out, there are three kinds of happiness found in the material world. Happiness in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. But regardless of the kind of happiness that you're experiencing, either in goodness, passion, or ignorance, it's limited and temporary. Sometimes it's good, but it reaches a peak, you go down. Bliss is different. Bliss, which is found in Krishna's abode, bliss that Krishna and his associates experience, is a kind of happiness that is increasing at every moment. And you don't go down. It's increasing at every moment. That's ananda, bliss. Can't get that here in the material world, no matter where you go. You can only get that when you regain your original spiritual nature. To help us understand and further get this concept of death so that it is something very, very succinct, I have selected a few verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, devotees of Krishna speak. You get to see the statements of persons who have either been with Krishna or have had some experience with either Krishna or one of his expansions. You get first-hand concepts personally. For instance, at the end of this year, I will go to India. So, in the course of the months, when people are asking me, where are you going? And I'm telling them, oh, I'm going to Delhi. Many people, oh, you must see this. You must visit my relative. You must. So they're telling me, and so in my mind, I'm getting a whole idea of what I'm going to look forward to. Bhagavatam, then, you get first-hand accounts of devotees who have experienced Krishna, God. So if you're ready to proceed, please raise your hand and repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Uttarovacha pahi pahi mahi yogin deva deva jagatpate Nanyang Tvad Abhayang Pakshe Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. This is Uttara. At this point, the battle of Kurukshetra has been won. But Ashvatthama, the son of Dronacharya, has released a Brahmastra weapon. Why? Because in the womb of Uttara is the next heir to the throne of the Pandava dynasty, Parikshit. So, he was so envious, he decided, no, I will kill that heir to the throne of the Pandavas. So, Uttara, she could feel that she was going to lose her baby. She prayed to Krishna, and this prayer is so significant. What did she pray to Krishna? My Lord, I don't care if the weapon kills me, but save the baby in my womb. In Kali Yuga, many times it's just the opposite. Kali Yuga is just the opposite. But Uttara is such of a high caliber. She's not praying for her own deliverance. My Lord, please save my baby. In this verse, she says, O Lord of Lords. So Uttara knows the truth that Krishna is the Lord of all the Lords. There are many Lords. But Krishna is Lord of all the other Lords. O Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me. Protect me, for there is no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality. So, this material world, the world of duality, birth and death, two opposite occurrences that we all have to go through. So, Uttara here says, no one can save me but you. This is a very good understanding. She knows something that's explained later in the Bhagavatam. Fallible soldiers, the foolish materialist, the non-devotee, take shelter of bank balance, powerful nation, strong family, military. The non-devotee thinks that all these material things will save. But Shukadeva Goswami will point out, no, they're fallible soldiers. They cannot protect you from the moment of death. There was a Brahmin who complained to King Ugrasena that 9 of his sons, as soon as upon being born, died. He accused the king of being improper. Arjuna, hearing this, promised the Brahmin that the next time his wife would give birth, he would be there and protect. When the time came for the 10th son, Arjuna, uncharacteristically, took shelter of Lord Shiva instead of his friend Krishna. For some reason, Arjuna thought, I'll take shelter of Lord Shiva to help protect the Brahmin. Arjuna shot his arrows and did everything to protect the wife. Soon as the baby was born, it flew up into the sky and disappeared. Arjuna had vowed that if I cannot save your 10th child, I will enter the fire and die. When this was going on, Krishna was looking out his window, smiling. And Krishna, even though Arjuna didn't take shelter of Krishna, but instead took shelter of Lord Shiva, it's not that Krishna said, serves you right, Arjuna. I'm not going to help you now. No. Krishna loves Arjuna. So when Krishna saw all this, he came and told Arjuna, no, no, don't enter the fire. Come with me. Krishna knew everything. Krishna took him to the abode of Mahavishnu, because it was Mahavishnu who had taken the children. Why did Mahavishnu take the children? Good question. Because he was not able to see Krishna in Dwarka. Dwarka was so protected, Mahavishnu was not able to enter Dwarka. So Mahavishnu thought, oh, if I can't see Krishna, I'll make Krishna come see me. So Krishna and Arjuna went, and Mahavishnu said, oh, I just wanted to see you. You can take the Brahmin's son. So the point being, Uttara is showing us that do not take shelter of anything fallible. The only thing that can save you at the crucial moment is Krishna. Therefore, following in the footsteps of Uttara, I would like to cry out to Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Now, the next prayer, I love in Bhagavatam, there are so many nice prayers. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of very nice prayers. You don't have to make up your own prayer. You can simply repeat the prayers of the great devotees, and you're guaranteed of success. So, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you will come across very powerful prayers. So now, we hear from Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas. Kunti is Krishna's aunt. The scene, battle of Kurukshetra is over. Yudhishthira has been enthroned. Parikshit has been born. Krishna's business in Hastinapur is done. So, Krishna is getting on his chariot to go back to his kingdom, Dwarka. As he is getting on the chariot, Kunti stops him and offers a stream of beautiful prayers. Many prayers. Kunti's prayers were very much liked by my spiritual master. In fact, there's one book, separate book, Prayers by Queen Kunti. Prabhupada lectured on those prayers in Los Angeles and in Mayapur. Prabhupada was very fond of those prayers. And if you read those prayers, you can see why. Kunti was very enlightened. Kunti was very spiritually advanced. So one of the prayers that Kunti offered to Krishna, the idea was to get Krishna, don't leave. Apart from this prayer that I'm going to read, one of the main things Kunti said to Krishna, Krishna, when we were in danger, we called out to you, you protected us. Now that we're out of danger, now you're leaving. Kunti said, I'd rather have the dangers come back. To hell with this peace and prosperity because you're leaving. I would rather be in calamity because in calamity you were here to save us. That's a very advanced prayer. I don't pray like that. I'm not on Kunti's level. That's how advanced Kunti is. She's praying for calamities so that Krishna doesn't leave. That's pretty advanced. Most people, not you, but others, they like this concept. I like the kingdom of Ram, but not Ram. Ravan, what did Ravan want? Sita, what did Sita mean? Opulence, right? Sita is Lakshmi. Ravan likes Sita, and didn't want Ram. So that's the fallacy. You cannot have the prosperity, peace, and opulence of the kingdom of God without God. This is another thing. Prabhupada writes and teaches, don't try to worship Lakshmi alone. Alone, she is what? Chanchal, flickering. Better to worship Lakshmi Narayan. Now, she's fixed. So, Kunti prays, Srinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Abhikshnasha Smaranti Nandanti Tavehi Tangjana Taeva Pashyantya Chirena Tavakam Bhava Prabho Paramang Padam Bhujam. Kunti said to Krishna, O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or who take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So here is the solution. This death we have to go through. We are born. We cannot avoid death. But we should avoid future deaths. That's called complete liberation. Kunti is pointing out how this next death will be your final death. What is the secret? Continuously hear about Krishna, continuously chant about Krishna, repeat Krishna's activities, or if even you can take pleasure in others doing it, you will always see Krishna's lotus feet, and seeing Krishna's lotus feet means you stop the cycle. This is the whole bhakti marg. The whole bhakti marg is to stop the cycle of repeated birth and death once and for all. Now, we go to Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was very fortunate. Now you're going to say, what do you mean? He was very fortunate because he was informed that he only has 7 days to live. We are not so fortunate. Why? Because we don't know if we have 7 years, 7 days, 7 minutes, or 7 seconds. That's why he's more fortunate. Knowing he only had 7 days, he made the best use of a bad bargain. He was cursed. He could have counteracted the curse. He was that powerful. But he said no. He took this as the will of the Supreme. Therefore, he said, I will use these next 7 days to the best of my ability and prepare for death. That is something all of us should take heed. Since we don't know if we have 7 seconds, days, years, or whatever, therefore, we have to be ready at any moment, like Maharaj Parikshit. We have to be ready. This is called advanced God consciousness. What does the fool think? Here's the fool. The fool thinks, oh, I'm young. I'm not going to die. Let me play. Let me have fun. When I'm old, then I'll get serious. I met a man in Panama, Indian man, Sindhi man. I met him in a shop, and he said to me, I didn't ask, he volunteered. He said, Swamiji, I am now in my 70s. My wife has left me. I said, why did she leave you? Because I like to go to the club, drink, and dance with young, naked girls. So I said to him, you're Hindu. You know that you are going to have to suffer sinful reactions. He goes, yes, but when I get older, and he's 70 years old. When I get older. I'm sure if I meet him again, there's going to be the same excuse. So that's the fool. The fool thinks, tomorrow. It's like maybe you know somebody. Taxes are due April 15th. But you hear on the radio all the time. April 14th comes, people are freaking out. Oh, I didn't do my tax. Procrastination. That's procrastination. So in the same way, we all know we're going to die. And again, you don't know when. Therefore, you have to get ready now. Not tomorrow. You have to get ready now. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, surrender. Krishna doesn't say surrender tomorrow. Krishna says surrender. So don't be the fool. Surrender to Krishna so that when death comes, you are ready. You can test yourself if you're ready. You're driving in your car. You almost have an accident. Somebody cuts you off. What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth? So, you can test for yourself. You can test for yourself if you're ready. Driving, I do lots of driving. I fly in many airplanes. So these kinds of things, every time I fly in an airplane, I'm always praying, Krishna, please help me. Because sometimes those plane rides, right? And you think about it, it's just a bunch of tin, aluminum, whatever, right? You're flying high, and it is so easy. Any little thing, especially if there's turbulence, right? On the plane, people are drinking and laughing, and ha ha. Then the turbulence comes. Oh, it's a different story, right? If the plane goes like this, yes. So, be ready. Be ready. And the Bhakti Marg teaches how to be always ready. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Always be chanting. Always. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, when Parikshit was informed that he had 7 days to live, he was very intelligent. He took off all of his royal garments, went to the bank of the Ganges, sat down, and the news spread all over. Oh, the great Parikshit is going to die within 7 days. So many demigods, rishis, brahmins, sages, they all came to the spot. So, when they arrived, Shri Shri Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki Jai. When they arrived, here is what Parikshit said to them. O trustworthy Brahmins, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die. This is very significant. He's the king, he's the emperor of the world. So as the emperor, he is always conscious of his duty. Those of us who are pious, religious, duty is something that is of utmost importance. I've preached on this point within the last couple of years several times. Even here in this temple, everyone has a duty. If you're a husband, you have lots of duties. If you're a wife, you have duties. Mother, you have duties. Children have duties. One thing that I always tell children, most important duty of the children, obey the parents. And I explain to the children, I say two things. If you expect Krishna's blessings and you're not obedient to your parents, that is not intelligent. I tell the children, if you want Krishna's blessings, you must be obedient to the parents. Otherwise, don't expect Krishna's blessings. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one has to worship superiors. And Prabhupada translates that as, like the father and mother. So everybody has duties. There's no avoiding. Parikshit Maharaj is saying, now that I'm about to die, he's asking the Brahmins, what is my duty now? Again, unlike Parikshit, we don't know when. So this question is, because he says, specifically of those who are just about to die. That's all of us. We're all about to die. You may not think so, but again, anybody going to guarantee 7 more seconds? You go to any doctor. Doctor, will you guarantee that if I take this medication or if I take this operation, do you guarantee? Doctors do not give guarantees. He'd be a fool if he does. He cannot guarantee anything. There's only one person who can guarantee anything, and he's right behind that curtain. And he already tells you in the Bhagavad Gita what's guaranteed. So, Parikshit's question is very good. What is my duty at the time of death? And then Shukadeva Goswami answers it. Antakale tu purusha, agate gata sadvasa, chindyad asanga shastrena, sprihang dehe nuye chatam. Shukadeva Goswami answers the question of Mahārāja. That's what the guru does. The student, the disciple asks questions. The guru responds. I asked only one question of Srila Prabhupada in my life. Only one. I asked Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And Prabhupada's response was, if you love Krishna. So that is the instruction I have been given by my spiritual master. If I want to please him, then I must love Krishna. And loving Krishna is taught in Bhakti Marg. Loving Krishna is taught in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya makes it so easy. Chant Krishna's holy name. Everybody, Hare Krishna. So here is Shukadeva Goswami's response to Maharaj Parikshit's question. What is the duty of someone at the time of death? Shukadeva says, at the last stage of one's life, one should be bold enough not to be afraid of death. So, that's the first part. So, the question then becomes, how do I become bold enough not to be afraid of death? The answer, you have to read the Vedic scriptures. You have to read Bhagavad Gita. You have to arm yourself with transcendental knowledge. Then you won't be afraid of death. In the Bhagavad Gita, repeatedly, what does Krishna say? Na tvam sochitam arhasi. You do not deserve to lament. Being bold is a mental culture. Whether somebody is a soldier, an athlete, they have to develop this boldness, no fear. So, you can't buy that at the store. So, the way to become bold enough not to be afraid of death is you have to become filled up with transcendental knowledge and realization. Then, you can become bold enough not to be afraid of death. There is a bhajan that we sing. Bhajahure mana Srinandanandana Abhay Charanara Vindare. Fearless at Krishna's lotus feet. So that's a question of practice. That is again one of the items of Bhakti Marg. Sadhana, practice. I've given the example hundreds of times. These athletes, they spend hours doing what is called reps, repetitions. They do the same thing over and over and over again for hours. Why? By doing those repetitions, they are training themselves so when the actual event comes, It's second nature. And it's, I'm not making this up. These athletes spend hours every day bouncing a ball and throwing it into a hoop. So in sadhana bhakti, there is practice, such as japa mala. Are we doing japa mala today? Were you doing? All right, so I should end at 1:45. Yeah, 1:45. No problem. No problem. So that japa mala, that's repetition. But that's how to look at it. You're practicing to be bold enough not to be afraid of death. So over and over, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. See yourself as a spiritual athlete. Whatever your favorite athlete is, but you are a transcendental athlete. And you're doing your reps over and over. Then read the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Read it over and over and over and over again so that your whole consciousness is filled. Sometimes people ask me, how do you remember all these things? How are you able to speak for such a long time? And I tell them it's very simple. You have to practice. That's all. I put the hours in every day. I see myself as a spiritual athlete. And so there every day I'm chanting, I'm studying. And then when it's time for show, when it's time for the big game, I'm ready. As Krishna says to Arjuna, armed with yoga, stand and fight. So if I arm myself with Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and good japa mala, no problem. So Shukadev said, be bold enough not to be afraid of death. Dhruva. The story of Dhruva. When death came, Dhruva stepped on the head of death and boarded the Vaikuntha airplane which was sent by Lord Narayan. Stepped on the head. He was not afraid. He was bold. Prahlad Maharaj. There he is. Lord Nrisimha is killing his father. Even though his father tortured him, he's the original terrorist. Hiranyakashipu, founder Acharya of the terrorist movement. But no matter what Hiranyakashipu did, there's no description in Bhagavatam that Prahlad was crying or Prahlad was afraid. No. In every instance, he simply took shelter of Krishna. So, 5-year-old boy can be bold enough not to be afraid of death. Now, the last thing Shukadev says to Parikshit on this point. Not only should you be bold enough not to be afraid of death, but one must cut off all attachment to the material body and everything pertaining to it and all desires thereof. That's called full surrender. Attachment to the material body. Yes, don't think you're not attached. You're attached. So Shukadeva is saying, don't cut off attachment to the material body and everything pertaining to it. Your family. Yes. Kunti prayed like that. Kunti said, my Lord, sever my tie of affection for my family so that I can be fixed on you alone. That is difficult. At the time of death, to cut off all attachment to the family members and all desires thereof. In America, you may have heard of this thing, the bucket list. Bucket list means, it's actually now a business. They make a plan. All right, I know I'm going to die maybe 5-10 years. So before I die, I want to go to the Grand Canyon. I want to go to Paris. I want to do this. Foolishness, nonsense. That's why he's saying, cut off all attachment to the body and all the desires thereof. This is the meaning of sannyas. Finishing up, being finished with trying to enjoy the hallucinations of this material world. Last night, we were hearing how material existence is a dream. So, all of my desires to enjoy this material world are simply dreams, hallucinations. Shukadeva Goswami is saying, cut it. Cut off all attachment to this material body and everything pertaining to it and all desires thereof. But if you're not attached to Krishna, you can't do it. So they go hand in hand. Notice Kunti said, sever my tie of affection for my family so that I can be fixed on you without any hindrance. So that's what's required. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. In conclusion, the conclusion of every lecture that I give, the conclusion of every lecture I will give, I have only one thing to say. Haryanama, Haryanama, Haryanama eva kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, 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 gatiranyata. In my world, there are only two kinds of people. Chanters and non-chanters. Those who are chanting the holy name of God, I worship your lotus feet. Anyone who is not chanting the name of God, I fall down at your feet. I beg you. I put straw in my teeth. And I beg you, please chant the holy name of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We had 20 people on the internet listening tonight. Let's all say Hari Bol. Thank you very much. It is always a great honor to come here and speak on the science of Krishna. I hope I can come back again, provided I'm not dead.